Now then, if you grew up going to church, I'm sure that you'll have been involved in being part of a nativity play. We had one a couple of weeks ago with an absolutely incredible portrayal of King Herod, thanks to Frank. But there are all sorts of other parts that were portrayed and played as well. We had animals, shepherds, angels, and lots more. So I have a little question for you just before we look at today's Bible passage, and that is this. If you have been in a nativity before, what role did you have? How did you get prepared for it? And what of the play can you remember? I'm only going to give you a minute or so to do this, but I want to encourage you to turn to the people next to you and share for the next minute or so what role you had in the nativity. Okay. All right. What roles, Tim? What role did you have? Have you had roles in nativity? Tim can't remember. Anyone have any good roles? Go on. Wise men. They were wise men. We're going to come on with frankincense. Okay, we're going to come on to them in a moment. Go on, JJ. Sheep. He was a sheep. Excellent. Have we got one more? A donkey. In the play? Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, in the nativity story. Brilliant. Fantastic. So, obviously, we heard that we've got some wise men down here. I wondered, did anyone here get sort of the role given to you of being a wise man each year? Yeah, I'm seeing one or two hands going up. The reason that I ask this is that of all the characters in the Christmas story, obviously, excluding the lobsters, we had a giraffe here a couple of weeks ago, and other animals that definitely weren't at the manger. I think the magi, the wise men, the kings, are the ones that we get wrong the most, because the Bible doesn't tell us that they were at the manger. It was very unlikely they ever met the shepherds, and by the time that they met the baby Jesus, he looked far less like this in the crib and was probably a screaming, running around toddler, much like many of our little stars. Let's read what the Bible has to say about them. So this is Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Before I share a couple of thoughts on these magi, or as was translated in the Greek, wise men, we're going to sing again. And this time we're introduced to yet another name for them as we sing "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Please do stand if you're able to as we sing. Amen. Do take your seats. I wonder if we've got a little picture that helps set the scene a little for us. There we go. Lovely. Now, I'm not going to debunk the whole of the Journey of the Wise Men story that you know and love. In fact, I find the wise men to be incredibly fascinating and a little bit mysterious. I found myself asking the questions, who were they? Where did they come from? Why did they follow a star? And the reality is that the Bible doesn't give us all these details, unfortunately. We've got those 12 verses that we see in Matthew's Gospel, and that is it. They're not mentioned in any of the other Gospels, but in just those 12 verses, And I want you to pardon the pun at this point. I think there is some real gold for us to go through. We read that they went on a long journey to find Jesus, and that they brought with them three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it's these gifts that I think are worth looking at today, because whilst at first they might seem pretty random gifts to give to a toddler, these gifts were chosen for a reason. They tell us something of who Jesus is. So I think we should have a look at these gifts today. And I think we should work out whether the wise men were truly deserving of their wise title. The first gift that we see is... the first thing that we see here is gold. Now, gold is a gift for royalty. By bringing gold, the wise men were saying, this child is a king. But Jesus wasn't any ordinary king. He wasn't born in a palace or surrounded by riches. Instead, he was born in a manger. He was wrapped in simple cloths. Why on earth would a king be born like that? Well, the reality is that Jesus didn't come to rule over a country or sit on a luxurious throne made of the finest metals that there were. Instead, he came to be Emmanuel. He came to be God with us, God with his people, God with you and God with me. He was born to be the King of Kings. He was sent to bring peace to the world, to rule in our hearts, but he wasn't born into the luxuries and riches, power and wealth that was normally expected of a king. So it was appropriate that the wise men brought a gift of gold fit for a king. If you remember the Bible reading well, you'll also remember that Jesus being labelled a king by the wise men angered the current monarch, King Herod, so much so that he ordered a massive search for the child, forcing Mary and Joseph to flee to Egypt and escape the cruelty that was to come. Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus became refugees, and in such a dangerous environment, I believe that the gold that the Magi brought was actually a God-sent gift to them. That treasure that was offered to Jesus as a sign of him being the king would be used to ensure a safe start in life for the little one who was destined to transform the whole world. A fantastic gift, I'm sure you'll agree. Many of us here would love to receive gold. But I think the gold that was given to Jesus was the most fitting gift of gold that there has ever been. Now, secondly, can you remember what the next gift was? Can anyone remember what it was? Go on, shout it out. Frankincense. Absolutely right. Well, frankincense is a fragrant spice that was burned in the temple as part of worship. In Old Testament times, it was sprinkled on the offerings in the temple in order to purify them and make them worthy of God. And so by giving Jesus frankincense, the wise men were saying, this child is divine. He is worthy. He is the Son of God. Now, this might have been the thing that was the most confusing for people to understand. How could a baby born in such humble circumstances be the Son of God? And yet, some of the cleverest people that would have been around at the time, these people we call the wise men, believed it. And Matthew tells us that when they saw the child, what did they do? They knelt down and worshipped. God, in his grace, opened their eyes to something that many people never see, that Jesus was God in human form. And as Jesus grew up, he continued to show us who God is through his love, through his miracles and his teaching. He revealed God's heart, a heart that's full of compassion for everyone, no matter who they are. And you know, I believe that the same thing can happen when we come here to worship, that we too can have a personal encounter with God's Son, Jesus, that we too can fall down on our knees in worship to him when we realize who he is and what he's done for us in coming down to be here with us. The wise men were wise enough to see that Jesus was the Son of God. They gave him frankincense as a sign of this. And I encourage you to do the same before him. Come with the same heart that the wise men did. Bow down and worship him. You may have frankincense, you may not. Your heart can still hand itself over to the baby Jesus. Frankincense for the Son of God. And finally, the last gift I hope you can all remember this one. The last gift that was given was myrrh. Now, myrrh is perhaps the strangest gift of all. They used myrrh to prepare people for burial. Why would you give that to a baby? Well, of course, we know that this gift pointed to what Jesus would go on to do for us. Jesus didn't just come as a king or to show us God's love. He came to save us. And with this gift, the wise men were pointing to the future that was to come for Jesus. They were designating him in that moment as being the saviour of the world. And I think that Mary understood what most people miss, that the little baby Jesus, the baby that we picture here in the beautiful nativity scene, was born to die for you and for me. And I like to imagine, this is very much not in the Bible, okay, but I do like to imagine that she took that urn of myrrh away, knowing that one day she would have to use it to prepare her own son for his burial. I think that when she joined Jesus for the last trip to Jerusalem, that she probably packed it with her things, suspecting that his time had come. And I also like to think that on that Sunday morning after his crucifixion, Mary took the urn of myrrh with her as she hurried through the early dawn with her friends to reach that garden tomb, ready to prepare his son for his final rest, only to be greeted with that thunderous announcement, "He is not here, he has risen." And because of that ground-shaking, world-changing news, I believe that myrrh was the only gift that would have never been used. In hindsight, the gift was a bit of a waste, wasn't it? But I'm so glad that myrrh never had to be used. The wise men might not have understood all the details, but they went on a journey to find out why. They might not have understood why they were giving these gifts in that moment, but they knew that Jesus was going to change the world. They didn't know the end of the story, but despite all of that, they bowed down and they worshipped him. See, I think the wise men were wise, not because of what they did, the things they brought. They recognized who Jesus was. They didn't let his humble beginnings fool them in any way. They knew he was the king. They knew he was the Son of God. And they knew that he was going to save the world. And my prayer today is that as we begin this new year, as we begin all together as one church family, that we too would know that. That we would see Jesus for who he is and respond with our hearts and with our lives. Now, as we come towards the end of our time together this morning, I want to ask you a question. If you were bringing a gift to Jesus today, what would it be? We've seen today that the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All powerful symbols of what was to happen to Jesus. But I don't believe that he needs those things anymore. He doesn't need gold. He doesn't need frankincense. He doesn't need myrrh. I believe what Jesus really wants is you. You can give Jesus your love, your trust, your time, your talents. You can give him your worries and your mistakes this year. And you can know that he'll take them and he'll give you peace and forgiveness in return. And to help us to think about this, we're going to do something together. Hopefully, I don't know if Becca's got some pens and paper. We're going to try and give some pens and paper out to everybody. And I want to encourage you to write or draw something that you want to give to Jesus as we start this new year together. Maybe it's your kindness. Maybe it is simply a little more of your time. Perhaps you want to trust him more in all that you do. Maybe you want to write down something that you need Jesus' help with this year. Maybe you want Jesus to draw closer to you, to him. You want Jesus to help you draw closer to him this year. This might be through things like reading the Bible or praying more. Maybe it's a worry or a fear that you need to let go of. I want to encourage you to write something down or draw something on the piece of paper that's going to come round to you in a moment. And when you finish, I want to encourage you to fold your piece of paper up and hold it in your hands. Pray about whatever it is that you've written or drawn. Ask Jesus to draw near to you, to be Emmanuel with you today, and lift up whatever it is that is written on your card. We're going to play some quiet music, and I know that it doesn't make sense with the timeline of the story, but I want to imagine you offering it over to Jesus. And perhaps the way you might like to do that is when you've prayed about it, you want to simply come and bring it up and leave it in the crib here as though you're physically handing it over to Jesus at the start of this year. So write something on the card, pray about it, hold it close to you, and then when you're ready, come and hand it over, place it into the crib, and we'll spend about 5 minutes on this before we come back together for one final carol this morning. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank you for the story of the wise men who saw that star and followed it to find you, Lord. Thank you for their wisdom and for the gifts that they brought that remind us who Jesus is, our King, our Saviour. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be like them, to seek you with all of our hearts, to offer you the best of who we are, and to kneel before you in worship. We again now offer up the prayers that we've just said. We offer up our lives to you again today, Lord, our love, our trust, our hopes, and even our worries as we begin this new year together. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings, and I pray that you teach us to follow you and live in your ways. You are Emmanuel, you are God with us, and so we ask that you would help us to feel your presence in our lives each and every day, Lord. And I thank you that you are our Saviour. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave everything so that we could come back to you, Lord. I pray that as we leave here today, that we would carry the light of your love into the world, just as the wise men did. May we share your peace and kindness with everyone that we meet. And Lord, I pray that you will be with us all. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, our God, and our Saviour. Amen.